Somebody say the abundant gift of grace. Do you really understand what that means? Do you really understand? The abundant. There's no limitations. When God, hallelujah, told the Apostle Paul, my grace is sufficient, that means anything you're going through, it doesn't matter what it is, named or unnamed. Ooh, bless his holy name. My grace, there's enough grace. Do you know any sin you could ever sin? I don't want nobody talking but me. If there's any sin that we could ever sin, God's grace superimposes over that. There's nothing we could ever do, hallelujah, that his grace is not sufficient. When you want God to intervene in any area of your life, there's enough grace that's sufficient for you and you and you and you and you and you and every person in here. That's a wonderful thing. So God is teaching us about his abundant grace. This is one of the most important messages, series of messages that I think I have ever taught, because I believe, and I've heard a couple of powerhouses that really preach the gospel of grace say the same thing. We believe that this message, getting to the body of Christ, is going to usher the Lord back. Yeah. Because this is the message that people need to hear of what Jesus did for us. Hallelujah. And he paid it all. It's so hard for us to comprehend that because we've been taught. Oh, I think about the times I said, God, I got to do this. Oh, I haven't done that. Maybe that's why this haven't showed up. We have literally taken faith out and been dependent upon our own ability to get something to happen. And guess what happens? Nothing. Because we're under the law now. When you and I work for something, it's under the law. Under grace, the only thing you and I have to do is to believe and receive. That's it. That's what faith is. Believe and receive. And we believe it so much that we just walk around saying, thank you. Y'all didn't hear me. We walk around saying, thank you. We're thanking him because we know that it's a done deal. Amen. And when we don't, we have to sit around trying to figure a way to get it done. And guess what happens? You said it. Nothing. Some of y'all didn't open your mouth, but nothing. Nothing happens. Hallelujah. So let's submit again today to the Holy Spirit's revelation concerning our righteousness being a gift from God. Tell somebody standing next to you, your righteousness, if you're born again, is a gift from God. Yeah. The gift of righteousness came through grace. The gift of righteousness came through grace. God's unmerited, God's unearned, God's undeserved favor because of the finished works of our Lord's cross at Calvary. His blood paid it all. Are you hearing me? Jesus alone qualified to redeem mankind from the entire curse of the law when he lived a sinless life on earth and completely fulfilled all of the requirements of the law. So, who qualified? Some of y'all don't know. Who qualified? Jesus. And don't think you do because you still don't. As wonderful as you might act, you do not qualify to be the sacrifice of nothing. So we need to stop. Can't heal ourselves. Can't deliver ourselves. Can't make anything right. It's all what Jesus has done. Is that wonderful? So Jesus alone qualified to redeem us. You ought to make that personal. Jesus met all the requirements for the law. He fulfilled the entire law. He left nothing out. So if there's something going on in your life right now, it's illegal if you're a born-again believer. You don't have to tolerate it or put up with it. What did I just say? That's right. If you're a believer and something is going on in your life right now that is in opposition to what Jesus has done for us, it's illegal, and you and I don't have to put up with it. We've been emancipated, liberated. Some of you are saying, Apostle, I don't feel it. I know you don't, but if you stay under this word, you will. You will never allow the enemy to put you in bondage ever again. I was able to say some things to the enemy lately that I could never have said in the past. Because I didn't really have an understanding of who I really am and what his limitations are. I'm not afraid of him. And I grew up from a little girl afraid of him. I think I had more fear for him than I did of God. Y'all ain't saying nothing. I'm so serious, but most will never admit that. But it's the truth. Hallelujah. But I'm not afraid of him anymore because of who is within me is greater than everything. Is that wonderful? Oh, hallelujah. And I taught you all on Wednesday night. When you know his character, when you know God's character, you'll never be afraid again. You will have fear when you don't know his character, because you'll always have a doubt there that maybe this won't work or maybe God won't do it for me. When you know God's character, there's no turning in him. There's no changing in him. He cannot lie. Whatever he said is eternal forever. There's no time limit to his faithfulness. And so when you and I know his character, and when you don't know his character, it's your fault. Because the Bible says that the new covenant, he's going to write his laws in our heart, and we will not have to go to somebody else to know him. Is that good? You isolated in a place where there's no other humans can come to know God, even without a written Bible. Because that's the love of God. He said, I'm going to put it in your heart. So every human being has something in their heart that knows there's something missing. So they try to fill it with everything else. That something that's missing, hallelujah, is a relationship with God. God put it in everybody to want to know him. Hallelujah. And so therefore, Jesus alone met all the requirements. He fulfilled completely every requirement of the law. Every person who receives our Lord's substitutionary sacrifice, that's you and I, was made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So I want you to pick your Bibles up while you're standing. I didn't forget you were standing. I don't want you to sit down until we read this first foundational scripture. Romans 5, verse 17, if you would put it on the boards for us in the Amplified Translation. This is our foundation scripture. This is what you can use to box the devil in his face when he comes against you with something that is not legally yours. Romans chapter 5, verse 17. It's on the board now in the Amplified Translation. You ought to mark it in your Bible. That's why I really like for you to turn to your Bibles or your, what you call them, Palm Pilots or whatever. I don't want to get technical. Y'all be correcting me. But anyway, I know what a Bible is anyway. I like to hear the pages turning too. All right, I hear them. Verse 17. Let's read it together. And let's not speed read so we can prove to each other that we know words. Let's read for revelation and understanding. This is a foundation of scripture we can stand on. Let's read it. For if because of one man's trespass, who is that? One man's trespass was the first Adam. He trespassed. Jesus didn't trespass. Now listen to what you're reading. For if because of one man's trespass or lapse or offense, that's Satan, death reigned through that one. That's the first Adam, because he committed high treason. All right. Now, after the comma, much more surely will those who receive God's overflowing grace. See how much grace that is? Overflowing. Unmerited favor and the free gift of righteousness. See it right there? You ought to have that underlined in your Bible. That overflowing grace and the free gift of righteousness should just, you should put a yellow mark or whatever, so it just, when you turn to that page, it just glows in your face. The free gift of righteousness. When something's free, don't cost you anything. Oh, glory to God. But we know that we must receive it by faith. So we're not trying to say that you can just, you know, serve another God and you got the gift of righteousness. That's not true. I want to really make that clear. So it's free, meaning we don't deserve it. We didn't merit it. We didn't earn it. Jesus paid for it, but we must receive it. Amen? All right, the free gift of righteousness, putting them into what? Right standing with himself. Who's himself? With God, right? Into right standing with God. God, it's God's overflowing grace. It's God's free gift of righteousness, putting you and I, or those that believe or receive it by faith, into right standing with himself. Do what? Reign as kings in life. Who's going to reign in kings as in this life? We are. But who is we? That's it. The one who believes, the one who is the righteous, the one who has received the free gift of righteousness, the one who has accepted Jesus. Who has not accepted Jesus in here? Raise your hand. I don't see one hand raised. So this scripture right here, every promise in here is for everybody in here. We are actually in a meeting with believers. There's no unbelievers in here today, which there should be, because you should have invited somebody. Because I'm sure you know enough people who don't even go to church. They don't even have a church. Amen. But this is a promise to you and I that we will reign as kings in life through this one man, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one, who we also know in scripture is considered the last Adam. Meaning he fulfilled what the first Adam messed up. He came and fixed it up. Is that good? So what does this verse promise you and I? We have overflowing grace and we have a free gift of righteousness and we shall reign as kings. And it's all because of who? Yeah, it's because of him. So no, you can't believe in Buddha, Confucius, Muhammad, a no-name God, and get the benefit of this scripture. It comes through one man, Jesus Christ. Is that wonderful? But if you have him, then you have every benefit in here, not when you get to heaven, right now. It says you will reign in this life. You will be king over. What does kings do? They reign, they rule, they dominate. Do they ask? No, they legislate, they decree a thing, they command, they're in charge. Amen, is that good? They run things, they delegate, they got all the money. Ooh, y'all didn't hear that. Woo! All, everybody, the dignitaries have to come before them when they walk in the room. People get up. They come to attention. Yeah, because they know that there is a place of respect. Is that not right? Amen. Now, we are not going to focus on the bad kings. We're going to focus on the good kings. So the good kings did good things for the people. Is that not right? And so we are reigning with all of the health, the wealth, the ability, the authority, the anointing, the power, the gifts, everything that God has, we reign with those things. But they're not just for us because our king is taking care of us. Hallelujah. He overflows in us so that we can be a blessing to others. Amen? So we're going to look for something great we can do for other people. Hallelujah. As we continue to grow in this word and understand who we really are. You may be seated in his presence. Give the Lord some praise. We now reign on earth in Christ as kings. I stated on last week that every born-again believer reigns, therefore sin doesn't. We reign, sickness and disease doesn't. Poverty and lack doesn't. Fear or failure doesn't. None of the curse reigns in our life. We are no longer under the curse of the law, but under grace. Open your Bibles to Romans 6. Hallelujah. Put it in your atmosphere. God has prepared a great word for me today. Come on, put it in your atmosphere and see what God's going to do to your words. Remember now, you're a king. God has prepared a great, powerful, hallelujah, informational, anointed message for me today. Hallelujah. And God won't disappoint you.